Colossians chapter 2. For I don't want you to be ignorant, brothers, how I strive for you and for those at Laodicea and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. So when he says, I strive for you, I struggle for you, I think he means in prayer. Might be alluding to how Jacob wrestled with an angel, and that was really him praying to God. So then prayer is not just quick, oh yeah, thank you for this, yeah, oh, give me that please, yeah, thanks. It is dialogue with God. It's engagement with God. It's talking with God. And, for example, he says, I strive with God about you and those at Laodicea. So he's saying, yeah, well, help her in this issue. I know she's like this. Would it be best to do this, God? Please, could you do that? All that sort of thing, rather than just quick, get it over and done with. And that's what God wants. He wants us to discuss with him. And I remember once I was stuck on a train that got delayed at a border. And it was delayed for about 12 hours. And I had a New Testament and Psalms on me. And I read the Psalms many, many, many times over in those hours I was waiting there. And one thing that struck me as I read the book of Psalms right through several times is how few things David asks for. Most of the time he's talking to God. He's telling God his feelings. He's discussing things with God, not giving God a whole load of things that he wants, but discussing with God. And so that, I think, is the spirit of prayer. So he says, I strive for you and those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be comforted, being knit together in love, unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, that they may understand the mystery of God, which is in Christ, in whom are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge hidden. So you see that true wisdom is hidden. It is not just as easy as, oh yeah, quickly open the Bible, there's a verse, oh yeah, now I'm wise. We've got to search for God, and then we will find him. Not because God is playing hard to get, or because he doesn't want to be found by us, but because he wants our hearts, and he wants us to search for him. This I say, that nobody may deceive you with persuasive words. For although I am absent in the flesh, yet am I present with you in the Spirit, rejoicing as I see your faithfulness in Christ. So therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him, rooted, built up, established in your faith, just as you were taught, and abounding with thanksgiving. So thanksgiving, being thankful, should be something we abound in. Now, when we give thanks for food, that's thanksgiving, but that can easily just become a habit, and we just trot out the same words. We've got to abound in thanksgiving. Take heed, lest there be anyone who spoils you through philosophy and the traditions of men, after the way of the world and not after Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead in a bodily form, and in him you are made complete, who is the head of all principality and power. So he's saying you don't need philosophy. You don't need being clever, because you've got all the wisdom and all the depth of everything if you are in Christ. And in him you were circumcised with the circumcision that is not made with hands, in the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh, in the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which also you were raised up with him through the faith in the operation of God, who raised him from the dead. So then, circumcision was something that was done to a little boy. And here we're being told that it is done to us through what is called the operation of God, which is effectively talking about the Holy Spirit, because it was through the Spirit that Jesus was raised from the dead. We're baptized, and then we are given this power of the Holy Spirit so that we can have a new mind, so that the flesh is going to be cut off. And it's only in God's strength that we can do that. We can't do it in our own strength, but only in his strength. We have to let him do this to us. And you, who are dead in all your sins and your uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all your sins, blotting out the handwriting which was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailed it to the cross, and having spoiled all the great powers and principalities, he made a triumph over them openly. Let nobody therefore judge you in matters of food or drink, or in keeping of a feast day, or a new moon, or a Sabbath day, which are shadows of the things to come, but the reality is Christ. Let no man rob you of your reward by getting you involved in just apparent humility, worshipping angels, going into those things which he's led to by his fleshly mind, and not holding on to the head, that's Jesus, from whom all the body, with all its various parts, is knit together with the increase of God. If you died with Christ from all the basic elements of this world, why, as though living in this world, do you subject yourself to laws like don't touch this, don't taste that, all of which things are going to come to an end? These things might have an appearance of wisdom and an appearance of humility, but that they're not of any real value in achieving self-control of the flesh. And that is so true, because the real issue is self-control, isn't it? We want to do something, and then you've got to say, stop, don't let myself do that. I won't let myself do that. That's what we've got to do. And by having a load of laws that you must do this and you mustn't touch that and you mustn't eat that, that doesn't actually lead you to self-control. But generally, it leads you to self-righteousness. That, well done, pat myself on the back. I did not eat chocolate. I did not eat sugar. Am I not such a good person? No, that's not going to help you to the overall life of self-control. Because self-control is not over just specific things like that. It's a way of life, isn't it? It's a spirit of life. I think he's saying here that it's by having the spirit of Jesus, this psychological power to take on his mind. That is the way to spiritual success.